The next day, I knocked on the door to the office at Executive Priority and went in without waiting for an answer. "Tonight, you'll be visited by three spirits," I announced. "The ghosts of indictment past, present, and future. They will teach you the true meaning of, you are still a scumbag criminal." Marcone was there, sitting behind the desk with Helen Beckett, or maybe Helen Demeter, I supposed. She wore her professionally suggestive business suit and was sitting across Marcone's lap. Her hair and suit looked slightly mussed. Marcone had his third shirt button undone. I cursed my timing. If I'd come 10 minutes later, I'd have opened the door in medias res. It would have been infinitely more awkward. "Dresden," Marcone said, his tone pleasant. Helen made no move to stir from where she was. "It's nice to see you alive. Your sense of humor, of course, remains unchanged, which is unsurprising, as it seems to have died in your adolescence. Presumably it entered a suicide pact with your manners." "Your good opinion," I said, "means the world to me. I see you got out of the never-never." "Simple enough," Marcone said. "I had to shoot a few of the vampires once we were clear of the fight. I did not appreciate the way they were attempting to coerce my employees." "Hell's bells," I sighed. "Did you kill any of them?" "Unnecessary. I shot them enough to make my point. After that, we had an adequate understanding of one another, much as you and I do."
"I understand that you settled matters with honest killers, Mr. Dresden," Helen said. "With help, of course."
Marcone smiled his unreadable little smile at me. "The people who did the deed won't be bothering anyone anymore," I said. "And most of the people who motivated them have gone into early retirement." I glanced at Marcone. "With help."
"But not all of them?" Helen asked, frowning.
"Everyone we could make answer," Marcone said, "has answered. It is unlikely we could accomplish more."
Something made me say, "And I'm taking steps to prevent or mitigate this kind of circumstance in the future, here and elsewhere."
Helen tilted her head at me, taking that in. Then she nodded and said, very quietly, "Thank you." "Helen," Marcone said, "would you be so good as to excuse us for a few moments?"
"Won't take long," I added. "I don't like being here."
Helen smiled slightly at me and rose smoothly from Marcone's lap.
"If it makes you feel any better, Mr. Dresden, you should know that he dislikes having you here as well."
"You should see how much my insurance premiums go up after your visits, Dresden." He shook his head. "And they call me an extortionist. Helen, could you send Bonnie in with that file?"
"Certainly."
Helen left. Healthy brunette Bonnie, in her oh-so-fetching exercise outfit, bounced in with a manila folder, gave me a Colgate smile, and departed again. Marcone opened the folder, withdrew a stack of papers, and started flicking through them. He got to the last page, turned it around, slid it across the desk, and produced a pen from his pocket. "Here is the contract you faxed me. Sign here, please." I walked over to the desk, took the entire stack, and started reading it from page one. "You never sign a contract you haven't read, even if you aren't a wizard. If you are one, it's even more important than that. People joke about signing away their soul or their firstborn. In my world, it's possible." Marcone seemed to accept that. He made a steeple of his fingers and waited with the relaxed patience of a well-fed cat.